Well, welcome everyone. So good to see you on this absolutely, let's see if this thing's always about to fall apart. On this absolutely beautiful, you can't even just see today. It's been so beautiful for so long that hard to believe that we're almost in October. But welcome. My name's Debbie Manning, part of the Table team. We have been in this crazy series, and I'll call it crazy because it is, you said it in our prayer time, Maggie. It's been kind of convicting. And when you dive deeper into it, I have a lot of questions for myself and a lot of looking at myself and my own life. But it's been good. I love Jim Wallace, and we continue in our series on the false white gospel. We're in week 4 of 8 weeks. We're looking at scripture that are at the heart of who we are as Jesus followers. So every week we're taking some text, we're pulling that apart a little bit, and we're looking at what it means to follow Jesus in not just the political climate that we're in, but sort of in the broader world in our lives. And I think that's what's been interesting to me, is this idea that we cannot separate our public life and our personal life, our personal faith. And if we're following Jesus, then we are out there in public making stands, and in the way that we speak out, stand with people, in the way that we vote. What Jim Wallace would say is that we are in the middle of a battle for the soul of this nation, and that what is at stake is not just our democracy, but our faith and the future of faith generations to come. And he talks a lot throughout the book about multicultural democracy and how we as people of faith need to step up and make sure that that happens, and that our faith and this idea of multicultural democracy is tied together. A friend of mine gave this picture to me for my birthday a few years ago. It's a watercolor local artist. I love it so much. And I love the words underneath it, on earth as it is in heaven. And I look at that picture and I see all the different colors and the different shapes and sizes of people, and people are holding hands and hugging each other. And I'm always thinking about who's with who. And they're all together. They're all united. They're all connected. There's this beautiful diversity and unity, which I think is this vision not only for what heaven is, but is our call to make that a reality here on earth. And I think why this is important to talk about is that this white Christian nationalism that has taken hold in this country, well, like we said a few weeks ago, it's been around a long time. It flies in the face of Jesus' vision of what kingdom life looks like. And here's the other thing. It is antithetical to our Constitution and our Declaration of Independence, which says all men are created equal, endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Democracy, faith, the future of our faith. And what Jim Wallace would say is if we as faith communities don't stand up and fight for this, that not only will our democracy fail, but our spirituality is at stake as well. That these two things are tied together. So last week, Jay, you were talking about practicing neighborly love and how critical that was to democracy. You looked at two textual issues that left us with a couple questions that you had for us. How do you engage people in genuine questions and interpret them in good faith? That was one of them. And the other one is, how do we stop qualifying people as worthy of our love? Or another way to think about it, how do we encounter people and love them as they are? Well, do I have an answer for you tonight? Not really, I'm just kind of kidding. Because that would be weird. That might be a red flag to you if I said, I got the answer. But I do think this text is a good start to the answer. And here it is. Imago Dei. Bill Wright, tell me about Imago Dei. Image of God, Latin. It is Latin for the image of God, that all people, every single human being, is created in the image of God. I love that so much. And I think it's a good place to start in answering your question, Jay, that if every person we encounter, no matter what the circumstances, no matter what the situation, no matter how much might be bubbling up inside us, that if we start with reminding ourselves and remembering that Brad, I see the image of God in you. Gail, I see the image of God in you. That is a great place to start as an answer to that question. So who bears the image of God? Let's go back to the beginning. Let's go back to creation, and we're in Genesis 1, 26 through 27. Then God said, let us make humankind in our image according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the cattle and over all the wild animals of the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he made them, male and female, he created them. We're both made in the image of God and the likeness of God, which conveys to us both our worth and our nature. It's clear. I don't think that ruffles anyone's feathers. Who's created in the image of God? We all are, every single human being. Important to this conversation, though, as we carry on, is a textual issue in this, and that is how the word dominion has been interpreted. Over time, it's been misused, misinterpreted as dominance. The big church has been known to use it for its own purposes that is maybe different from the purposes of Jesus. But the true meaning of the Hebrew word is far closer to the vision of stewardship, this caring and faithfulness to the whole earth and every creature within it. Jim Wallace, when he was over at Sojourners, he had this to say. Indeed, when people decide to have dominion, not just over the creation, but over other people, it is an assault on the Creator, which attempts to overturn the purposes of God. Therefore, racism and other forms of human oppression based in identity are not simply morally wrong. They are sins against God, and they must be named. An assault on the image of God. Every time we deny the dignity, the worth of the people that God created, we are assaulting God in that. Anytime we point to the other, what we are doing is holding power and prejudice, and we're marginalizing, we're dehumanizing, we're benefiting from. And it's an assault on the image of God, antithetical to the person of Jesus. I think it's interesting that what Wallace sees in this text that we just read from Genesis, he sees it as the foundation of democracy. If humankind is created in the image of God, then certain facts follow, right? The absolute worth of every person, of every citizen, of every nation. There's embedded in that is a fundamental respect for every individual. And any disrespect, any devaluing as a person is devaluing God. Second, equality among all people who are made in the image of God. The fundamental equality of rights of all human beings. Those are the right to political participation, the right for social opportunities. It's so interesting that it is essential to democracy, and it's also rooted in the Genesis story. And this is where I just want to emphasize again that our life of faith cannot be separated from what's going on in our world. Raphael Warnock, who back in December 22, he won that runoff for a Senate seat in Georgia. And he did such a beautiful job of blending those two things together, spirituality and sort of this responsibility as a good citizen. Just listen to him and his acceptance speech on December 7th, 2022.
And the people once again rose up in a multiracial, multi-religious coalition of conscience. You endured the rain, you endured the long lines, and you voted, and you did it because you believe, as I do, that democracy is the political enactment of a spiritual idea. This notion that each of us has within us a spark of the divine, that we were created in the imago Dei, in the image of God. And if you're not given to that kind of religious language, that's fine. Our tent is big. Simply put it this way, each of us has value. And if we have value, we ought to have a voice. And the way to have a voice is to have a vote to determine the direction of your country and your destiny within it.
He says it way better than I could have ever said it. But I'm listening to that again, and I'm reminded of how important this is. And when I was preparing for this, I'm going to be honest, like, part of me, like, worries a little bit that this seems far from our world. Like, yeah, we care, but let's face it, most of the people in this room have probably never had to worry about it being hard to vote. That democracy wasn't something that felt like it was for them. But I think this is important. It may feel big picture, but this is important for us as people that follow Jesus, that we too stand with human rights and ultimately, in this situation, voting rights for everyone. John Lewis, another Georgia congressman, he died back in 2020. He was remembered for calling the right to vote precious and almost sacred. And he said that because he said it gave voice to all children of God in the public square. I love that. I love that so much. And what it means for us as followers of Jesus, that we do need to be concerned about voting rights, about voter suppression. And let's not kid ourselves. And if we listen to the news at all, we know that there's all sorts of that going on all the time, and it continues to. The more people stand up and use their voice, the harder people come down on making it hard for people to vote. And any time that it's hard for people of color, for the young, for the old, for low-income people to vote, that is an assault on the image of God. It's far more than our politics. Our spirituality is at stake as well. We are in what Jim Wallis calls a kairos moment. That's a particular moment in time. That's really important. That something big could happen that could change the future of our church. And then during this, what many feel like is a moral crisis, a spiritual crisis in the country, we have to have the conviction, the courage, and I think maybe even the honesty, and I'm speaking to myself, to leave behind this idea that some people should be valued more than others. And here's what the text asks us, you guys. The text asks us, do we believe and act accordingly to the truth that every single person is created in the image of God? Imago Dei, foundational to human rights, to equality, to dignity. And what it ends up being about is seeing and treating all people, no matter race, ethnicity, gender, sexual orientation, who they are, where they're from, who they love, how they worship, how old they are. Do you see them as the full image bearer of God? I said this earlier and I'll say it again. We cannot separate our private faith from our public faith. It's the both and. And I was thinking back, Sammy Schmeezy, and I'm going to show a picture of you. 4 years ago, Patty, you can throw up that picture. I preached on this exact text. And there might be a few people in the room that remember, because sort of spontaneously, I picked up that little baby girl. That's exactly how old she was. Look at you, Sammy. You look the same, only you have more hair. You're so cute. And I picked her up, and I walked up and down the aisle. Do you remember that, Maggie? I'm sure you, the Kellers, were there. And I started talking about looking into this little baby's eyes and seeing that Sammy is created in the image of God. And then I went on to talk about her life and how I hoped and prayed that always that she would understand that she's created in the image of God, that people that saw her would understand that. And as I went on and talked about different scenarios, I ended with, and what if this little girl grows up and she falls in love? And maybe she'd fall in love with a man or a woman. Would that change? Others outside not being comfortable with that and seeing the image of God with Sammy. I have Sel and Patty, we had some guests there that night, and they got up and walked out when I said that. But we are people who believe that every single person is created in the image of God. How we treat people, how we see people, it's more than a moral or theological decision. It is a Jesus decision. Because Jesus' entire life, his entire ministry came directly from God's creation of human beings as bearers of the image of God. The love that Jesus embodies for all of us, that he teaches, is a direct consequence of every person being a child of God. That connects us. That makes us brothers and sisters. An assault on the image of God is any time we deny the dignity, the value, the worth of people that God has created. Now, like I said earlier, I think we all agree. I can't imagine that too many feathers are ruffled. But as C.S. Lewis would say, we need to go further up and further in. And I think that's taking a look at ourselves. Because we could all name, right, the people groups, the places, the spaces, the incidents where there's been assaults on the image of God. And we might say things like misogyny, homophobia, racism, white supremacy, white nationalism, white privilege, make America great again, separate people at the border, send them back. Those things are certainly assaults on the image of God. But you know what I'm going to say, that the both end, as always, we got a piece too. And I think about some of those hard relationships in our lives. And I was thinking today about either it feels like this often happens when we forget, oh yeah, they're created in the image of God. It's either someone we don't know and we're uncomfortable or it's not familiar, or more often, and I'll say this for me as I thought about this, it's personal. It's the people closer to me. It's the people I get frustrated with. And I'll tell you, and I say this, I don't think they're going to listen to the recording of this, but my elderly parents moved here from Colorado a year ago. And when I visit with them, oh, it's going to make me cry. Every time I get frustrated and I roll my eyes when they say something that I disagree with or just makes me mad, that is an assault on the image of God. Last weekend, we were at a wedding in Colorado. I officiated. It was my brother-in-law. My sister had passed away 7 years. It was awesome. It was just this beautiful gathering of all different sorts of people. We were in the mountains in Colorado, near Colorado Springs. And mostly it was great, but as I'm preparing for this message, I'm realizing there were a handful of times we'd walk by people on the way to the coffee shop, and there was a lot of MAGA shirts and Make America Great, or we'd start a conversation with someone and walk away and go, I bet they voted for Trump. That is an assault on the image of God. I for sure have othered that group of people without knowing them, without understanding that this kind of stuff, I think we all have somewhere in our lives, and it is. It's either somewhere where maybe we have baggage or hurt or with people we're close to, or maybe assumptions we make. And so what does that mean? Jack, what does that mean for you when you're playing flag football and maybe there's someone on the opposing team that's playing a little underhanded? Think about the discipline in reminding yourself that person bears the image of God. Or Lilia, maybe you on one of your bike races. I saw some cool pictures on Facebook. Think about that. What if you had someone who kind of went after you in that bike race and it made you frustrated and mad? How important to remind ourselves that that person has a story too. You talked a lot about that last week, Jay, that we all have stories. But this reminder Every person is created in the image of God. And that's where we get back to where Jay was, where we can actually engage in a conversation if we can remind ourselves. How do you do that? When I was looking back on the sermon I preached in 2020, Nakima Levy Armstrong had been with us the week before, and she had talked about how we only do things like that with the help of the Holy Spirit. And that's true, because I don't think we got it. I think I'm too broken, too hurt in some of these relationships. But it is the Holy Spirit that gives us that ability to step into conversations and be the peacemakers that God calls us to be. When we go back to the beginning, we recognize that we are all image bearers and Jesus followers. And what we do and say in our personal and our public lives, it matters. It matters. And that's where we have to remind each other when we need to remember what's at stake. When we see the image of God being denigrated, devalued, or discarded anywhere. All human beings created in the image of God. And I think the question we really need to seriously ask ourselves is, do we actually believe that? Do we believe that? And then do we live it out? In our actions, in our heart, in our mind, in our soul. That little Sammy Schmeezing, you can throw that picture up, Patty. I'd love to see her story unfold. Sammy turned 5 years old on Monday. Woo! And as I see this little superhero of ours, her story unfold, I continue to hope and pray, Sammy, that you will know that you are a beloved child of God. And when some of those voices from the outside sneak into your world, that you hang on tight to that. Because that is what's foundational to our faith. Every single person created in the image of God. Please pray with me. Holy and gracious God, we gather together today as we continue to ask questions, as we continue to understand not just your call on our life, but how we lean into that. God, we pray that you'll continue to give us the eyes to see more clearly, to see you and one another, to love you and each other in ways that matter, in ways that change the world. Help us to have the courage, God, to step into the places that you are calling us particularly into, whether that's, you know, in this area of politics or whether it's serving in the places you call us to serve in. God, we just pray that you give us the strength, the courage to step in further up and further in. Pray it all in your name. Amen.
Amen. Debbie, when you were preaching, I was struck by this idea of seeing people and how it's a whole lot easier to not look and see, because then there's a vulnerability we have to extend, and then we see someone else being vulnerable, and sometimes that's scary. And it made me think, too, it's almost a tool of magic to be able to be vulnerable and to show somebody who you are. And we've been reading a book in our house. We just started The Chronicles of Narnia, and so it makes me think of magic in that. And there's magic in the time that we take to really look at someone and discover who they are. And Jim Wallace, in his book, talks about how proximity changes people. It's not facts, it's not how loud you can speak, it's remaining in relationship. And I think that that is magical. And I think that Jesus is that same way with us. Jesus never leaves us, he stays in close proximity with us. And that's also what he calls us to. And so Jude and I are gonna do communion together. So Jude, do you wanna grab the bread? The night before Jesus showed us the greatest display of love, he was with his friends and he was sharing a meal. And he took the bread, he raised it up, he blessed it, and then he broke it. And he said, whenever you eat this, remember me.
Good job.
Put it right there. And then in the same way, he took the cup and he took the drink and he looked at his friends and he raised it up And he told God, he said, God bless this. And every time that you drink this, remember me. And I think that there was a piece of this too that Jesus wanted us to not obviously do this in isolation, but to remain in close proximity with one another as we do these things. As we remember Jesus, we do this with one another. And so we're going to have a time where we come down, we receive the bread and the cup. And so we'll come down, you'll be able to take a piece of bread, then dip it in the cup, and then eat it, and then you can go back to your seat. But before we do that, we have an opportunity to pray the prayer that Jesus taught us. So would you stand and pray the Lord's Prayer with us, saying, Our God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever.
I'm going to invite Audrey up to read our benediction. We end each and every service every week with the same words, and Audrey, a member of our kids team, is going to end that for us.
Hi, guys. I'm new, so if I have not gotten the chance to meet you, my name is Audrey Taylor. I'm working with the kindergarten through first graders. If I haven't gotten to meet you, come say hi afterwards. I would love to chat with you. But yes, I invite you to please stand with the benediction with me. No matter who you are or what you've done, who you love or what you've lost, where you've gone or where you've stayed, there will always be a seat for you at the table because you are a beloved child of God, and beloved, you belong. Go in peace. Amen.